So you have the 77-year-old man who was first seen in 2018, was known BRCA2 mutation carrier. The sister and daughter had breast cancer. Before we go on, what do you do in terms of screening for prostate cancer in men with known germline mutations like this man?
That's a very good question. And the honest answer is that we don't know. And this is exactly something we want to assess prospectively in studies. And I think we should pay attention to that. I would probably do or recommend a PSA screening, but whether we should also do, for example, an MRI of a prostate from time to time, we just don't know. We have no clue. But this is maybe something we should consider doing, and we have ideas about looking at that prospectively.
So I see that this man has metastatic disease. He was actually, looks like he was initially diagnosed in 2010, Mets, castrate resistant 2015, goes on abiraterone, and then I guess he had disease progression and came up for the possibility of a trial. So what happened?
You know what? This is very typical of these men with BRCA mutations. Either they are diagnosed with bad local cancers, and this one, for example, had a Gleason 9 prostate cancer, or they are diagnosed with de novo metastatic disease. By itself, having a BRCA2 germline mutation is a bad prognostic factor. So you're right. These patients received abiraterone for 2 years. And again, this is also a message for colleagues. It's not because the patient is BRCA2 mutated or have a DDR mutation that the normal treatments, let's call them this way, for prostate cancer will not work. Abiraterone, taxane, etc. The difference with classical or other patients is that they might work a shorter amount of time. So I think this is an important message to all our colleagues. So basically, yes, he was progressing by PSA, but still in a good shape, performance status 0, asymptomatic, and he was developing new bone lesions on the bone scan. So we proposed him to participate to a trial comparing a PARP inhibitor versus a second hormonal agents. And because actually at this time, you know, what I told you about the cross-resistance between AR-targeted agents was much less known as compared to right now. So he agreed on participating, and he was randomized in the enzalutamide arm, so in the control arm first. And that was more than a year ago, almost 2 years now. And actually, things didn't turn well for this man while on enzalutamide. His PSA kept rising. His general status started deteriorating in 3 or 4 months' time. And actually even broke his femur. So we had to operate on him. So
he had a pathologic fracture?
Correct.
Was he having pain prior to that time?
Well, he had modest pain, but he fell down on his femur and he broke it.
It's interesting, though, too, that he had some cognitive impairment, enzalutamide, going back to our discussion about CNS effects. This man falls. Do you think this was like a CNS fall?
It's always hard to say because I was not with him exactly at this time. But it's true that he had some CNS troubles when I met him, and the wife was telling me, you know, all these things. There was something there. So again, you would see these side effects on enzalutamide.
Hmm.
The good thing in this trial was that at the time of progression, by imaging, you had the possibility to cross over your patient to experimental drug, which was a PARP inhibitor, which actually turned out to be active in this man. And it was really fantastic response. Again, he could start walking, of course, thanks also to the surgery. The cognitive impairment went away. But also, and most importantly, the other bone pain that he was starting having at different spots from his bony lesions completely disappeared, and we could stop opioids and more generally painkillers. So we actually switched him to the PARP inhibitor about a year ago, and I just saw him. He's doing super well. Last summer, he went in the Alps for walking with his wife. You know, very nice story that we love to see when the cancer is under control. And actually, his PSA is still declining, and his bone scan is also improving, and this was almost a year now.
So I see that he did have a little bit of anemia. His hemoglobin was 10.5, platelets 105,000, but he hasn't needed a transfusion.